Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, down south of the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is September the 17th, 2024, or the 15th day of Tishri, 2028. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. This is a holy Sabbath day, and we are on our sermon is taken from Shepherd Rod of Volume 1, and the title of it is A Redeemer, the Promise Unto a Repentant People, Isaiah 59. We're on page 150 of this book, and this is part number 7 of the series of Who is Israel by the Promise. Isaiah 59, 2-8, tells how terrible and grievous our sins are in Yahweh's sight. For the first verse contains a wonderful promise. Behold, the Yahshua's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. If we would repent of our sins and turn unto Him with the fasting and prayer, He will have mercy upon us and will hear our prayers. Though our sins are unspeakably great, Isaiah 59:9-13, are of a good report. Some of the people are conscious and repenting from their sin. Isaiah 59:16-19 is a prophecy too sad to speak of. For it applies unto those upon whom the responsibility rested for the bringing about of a reformation by the presenting of the lessons for the SDA Church in their true light, calling every sin by its right name instead of applying it unto other people and times, and thereby diverting the instructions intended for the Church. For the admonitions in the Scriptures were overlooked and unheeded. And what the Yahweh expected of His people during the first 3 months of 1929 was not accomplished, simply because those in the responsible position failed to discharge their duty. He's talking about those General Conference presidents and his ministers that barred this some of the 70 Adventists from accepting the rod message of Richie Hall of the 1930. Isaiah 59:16. First part, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. For the Yahweh was astonished. Moses and Aaron stood between the dead and the living. Number 1648. Yahweh used Elijah on a Mount Carmel. 1 Kings 18. And the crisis here brought to view, Yahweh finds no man. Ezekiel 20:30. So he himself interposes. Now this event in Antioch took place at Tremont in 2002 at Tremont, Texas, at the Passover. Brother Johnson prophesied that year that Yeshua was to come into person, and whenever the Passover was over in 2002, Brother Johnson said, well, this wasn't the year after all, because he didn't see Yahshua in person himself, Other people felt his presence, but the royal sons said, well, this wasn't a year after all. But it was. But there was no man there to interpret the prophecy. Isaiah 59:16-18. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him. So this is talking about Yahshua. He came to the threshold of the house. He didn't find any man there that was in charge of the kingdom of Esau's kingdom. Brother Johnson's antipical Esau and didn't know it. He saw there was nobody in charge to understand prophecy. Therefore his arm, who was his arm? His arm was the house of David. And typical Elijah was already there on the scene, sitting in the pews of Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, 2002. That was the arm of Yahshua. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto them. What did his arm do? He interpreted the prophecy and gave it to Brother Johnson ahead of time, and he rejected it. So Yahshua was the one that sent that prophecy by the Elijah David and to Gilead Center, and that was his arm that brought salvation unto him and his righteousness. Okay, it sustained him, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of the vengeance for the clothing, and was clad with his zeal as a cloak according unto their deeds. Accordingly he will repay fury unto his adversaries, and recompense unto his enemies. Unto the islands he will repay recompense. But Yahshua clothes himself with his own attributes and advances to set things right. Had this been a man, Yahweh, the Father would have let the man do the work. But as there was none, he does it himself. Let's do this again. For had there been a man to do this work that Brother Johnson was supposed to have done, Yahshua would have let the man do the work. But the thing is, there was the man there, but he hadn't been disclosed of you yet. Yahshua would have let the man do the work, but as there was none, he did it himself. Actually, he's talking about the one that was in charge for 32 years, that Brother Johnson. He said he was there, but he didn't know what the fulfillment of prophecy was going on, what it was all about. So he was useless. Well, Yahshua would have let the man Brother Johnson do the work. But as there was none to understand the prophecy, including the Brother Johnson, the one in charge, he does it himself. This reveals one of the Yahweh's working principles. He will use one man or a nation for the helping, correcting, or punishing another. For the help and the correcting or punishing of another. When that cannot be done, Yahshua steps in. Or Yahshua will come with the vengeance unto some. He comes with the salvation unto others. Okay. He comes to some with a vengeance. Okay. And others he comes with a salvation. Isaiah 59:20. So he came to Kermit, Texas at the Passover with vengeance unto the ancient men before the house, Ezekiel 9:6, and started judgment of the living there with Brother Johnson, and he brought vengeance with him. And with the house of David that is ready to take Brother Johnson's place at that time, he brought salvation. All at the same time, Isaiah 59:20. And the Redeemer shall come unto Zion. This is not referring to the second coming of the Yahshua in the cloud. As to that, his coming invisibly unto Mount Zion, the 12th hour. And that's 2002. To start this judgment of the living with the house of David. This is not referring to the second coming of Yahshua in the cloud, for it takes place before the probation closes. He is not coming with a vengeance for the unrighteous in the world, but coming with vengeance to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And that coming with a past over 2,000 years coming, a Gilead Senate. Third freeing pastor for the Adventist Church. And when he comes, he will do the work mentioned in Malachi 3:1-3. Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Yahshua from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For the Yahshua will make his coming as an example unto the nations, just as he did with the Sodom and Gomorrah. Isaiah 59:19, last part. When the enemy shall come in like a cloud, or like a flood, the spirit of the Yahshua shall lift up a standard against him. Whether John in Revelation 12:15 refers unto this incident, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. For the woman here mentioned is the Yahweh's Seventh-day Adventist Church, which keep the commandments of the Yahweh and have the testimony, keeping the commandments of the Yahshua as well. John 15:10. For the flood is not the Blue Sunday law, or any of the persecution in the past. Now, those commandments of Yahshua is called the testimony of Yahshua. For the Blue Law has a different city, and it is described in the Revelation. 13, as a persecuting power for the enforcement of the mark of the beast. Flood is the same as water, which means people in the church, unconverted. Whom Satan is using to cause the church to be carried away in a very quiet manner, so that no one would be suspicious of the great deception. In this way, he attempts to deceive the very elect 144,000, if it were possible. Being impossible, Yahshua himself interposes and delivers his people, those who sigh and cry for all the abominations in this church, and then makes an example of the others. That's what took place at Kermit. Brother Johnson and all his family and the members of Gilead Center, that it wasn't silent crime for the abomination. They represented the flood in the church, the unconverted. And he was teaching that his kingdom was to bring forth the 144,000, and all the time his kingdom was destroying the concept of the 144,000 to the actual remnant. Okay. So he says Revelation 12:16, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Okay, the meaning is that they die, being buried in the earth, okay, as in Numbers 16:32. This is true. Brother Johnson, his wife, the leaders of Gilead Center for 33 and a half years, 1970 to 2003, they're both dead, and his associate pastor, his son Daniel Johnson, is dead. Daniel Johnson's wife is dead. They died in 2023, and so they're all dead, those leaders at Gilead Center. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertain unto Korah, and all their goods. Thus the spirit of Yahshua shall lift up a standard against him. So the standard was the sanctuary system restored, and Brother Johnson would not accept restoring the sanctuary system that he had restored in 1970, and over 32 year period of time had completely rescinded it all, just going through it by this pure motion. Isaiah 59:19, last part, this will fulfill Matthew 13:29-30. That both the wheat and the tares grow together until the harvest. The separation will mark the beginning of the harvest, which is in the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message, Revelation 18:1. For the Spirit of Yahweh is poured upon his people, those who escape the ruin, and the promises that it shall never depart from them, Isaiah 59:21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith Yahshua. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith Yahshua, from the henceforth and forever. Read Isaiah the Gospel Prophet, Volume 3, pages 43-49. As soon as the separation is finished and Satan has lost out with his deceptive scheme, the church finds herself in a great conflict with the enemy. Revelation 12:17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, those who are left, which keep the commandments of the Yahweh and have the testimony of the Yahshua. Oh, and so the testimony of the Yahshua then would be they have his seal. That Yahshua has given them the war against the woman is the blue law. The first triumph of the righteous, the final triumph of the righteous, Isaiah 60, is our next subtitle. For this chapter begins with the words, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Yahshua is risen upon thee. For the latter rain, the spirit of the Yahshua, and the glory of his power," for the chapter tells of the end gathering in the time of the harvest, for a great multitude composed of all nations and classes of the people that are rich and poor alike, from all walks of the life, with the kings and rulers among them, and also with the wealth of the Gentiles, shall come unto the purified church of the everlasting kingdom of heaven. This is David's church, answered for David, a nation, and their kingdom that will not serve them, the purified church of David, shall perish. The multitude gathered here are the ones with the palms in their hands, Revelation 7, 9. Isaiah 60:19-20, tell of the purity of the Yahweh's church and his care over his people. Isaiah 60:21 says, thy people also shall be all righteous. The unclean and unconverted will not be permitted in his church. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Isaiah 52:1. For the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Jeremiah 3:13. Verse 22 of Isaiah 60 mentions their success and their winning souls unto the Yahshua. Okay. Builders of the old waste places, Isaiah 61. For the first verse and part of the second applies unto Yahshua himself at the beginning of his ministry. For the spirit of prophecy says it will repeat itself with the people of Yahweh. This word find is forthcoming in the time of the harvest and the 12th parabolic hour, the judgment of the living time, and we've been in since 2002 with the 144,000. Those who escaped the ruin of the Isaiah 59 and 63, by whose effort the great multitude of Revelation 7:9 is made. Isaiah 61:2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Yahshua and the day of the vengeance of our Yahshua, for the acceptable year cannot be a prophetic time, for it would mean 365 years. It must be a literal year of the 12 months. There is good reason for believing that this must be that year. It's also in 1930. There's good reason to believe that was that year in which the lesson stands. Well, actually, he says 1929. That's when those lessons came to the Adventist Church of Isaiah the Gospel Prophet by M.L. Andreessen. And so he says there is good reason for believing that this must be that year, 1929, in which the lessons came by the M.L. Andreessen unto V.G. Harlot, a Sabbath school teacher in the Adventist Church at that time. So, he said 1929 then was the year that had come, and the truth in them made known. Had this not been the prophetic year, the call would not have come, for the Yahweh keeps after time. to Nineveh, he already gave 40 days to repent. Now to his people, he gives 1 year to make good. Otherwise, he would have to spew them out of his mouth. This applies unto those upon whom the responsibility rests. And unto the angel of the church of the latter saints write. Now, Vigilus knows that Revelation 3:14 is talking about a single person, a faulty angel, meaning a prophet over the church here on earth. Okay, so whoever the prophet that was in charge of the church in 1929, and there was no prophet in charge of the candlestick of leadership in 1929. All of the saints, and unto the angel of the church of the latter saints, of the Adventist Church, right. So he had to be addressing the General Conference President in 1929 of the Seventh-day Adventist. And this is what Richard Hollis is referring to. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Revelation 3:14. The 16th. The call to this great and solemn work was presented unto men of the learning and position. Okay. Now he's talking about the members of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Had these been little in their own eyes and trusted fully in the Yahshua, he would have honored them with bearing his standard and triumph for the victory. But they, separated from the Yahshua, yielded unto the influence of the world, and Yahshua rejected them. Volume 5, page 82. So it sounds like Richard Hall was quoting Ellen G. White here, if I just got through reading. It says in Volume 5 of the Testimonies, page 82. Well, all I know is that paragraph is a paragraph of confusion. And let's go on. For the day of vengeance in Isaiah 61:2 follows the year. For the day may be prophetic, which in that case would mean a literal year. Thus it would mean a year in each case. This year of the vengeance is not the seven last plagues, nor is it the destruction of the wicked at the second coming of Yahshua. It takes place before the close of the probation, for in Isaiah 61:4 we read, and they shall build the old ways, they shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair their waste city, the desolations of many generations. For the meaning of this verse is to restore the truth of the Yahweh, which has been trodden down under the foot for many generations. Okay. The 144,000 is the true Israel of the Yahweh, or the builder. Thus we see that after the day of the vengeance, Yahweh's truth is to be restored and revealed unto the people. So, he's saying, in another place, that this Antipas Elijah is the one that restores all things. The forerunner of Yahshua, Malachi 3 and Malachi 4. Therefore, it must be before the close of probation. He's talking about for the world, but this is for the close of probation for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And then you have the code of probation for the world later on, where the balance of the chapter confirms the same thought. For the day of the vengeance is the same as in Ezekiel 9. And Ezekiel 9 takes place in the 12th Great Body Tower. While the probation is still open for the seventh day Adventist church. Until you bring forth the 144,000, probation is going to be open for the Adventist church. And Isaiah 63 and Isaiah 61, as previously explained, Isaiah 61:6, meaning that the 144,000 said they are priests, as explained on pages 37 and 38. For the holy people, the Yahshua is redeemed. Redeemed is a past tense adverb, Isaiah 62, and volume 3, page 65 of the Isaiah, the gospel prophet, we read, I will not rest, for Yahweh is speaking. He has determined that the righteousness of his people shall become evident, and he will not rest until it is accomplished. For the words indicate not only determination, but also that there has been delay, that now the crisis has come. The holy people, the Yahshua is redeemed, Isaiah 62, volume 3, page 65 of Isaiah, the gospel prophet, we read, I will not rest, Yahweh is speaking. He has determined that the righteousness of his people shall become evident, and he will not rest until it is accomplished. The words indicate not only determination, but also that there has been delay, that now the crisis has come, and that Yahweh is tremendous in earnest to see the work finished, for Yahweh intends to exhibit his people to the world. He wants to demonstrate what can be done in the human flesh, and he will not rest satisfied until his people reflect his image fully. When that is done, the earth will be lightened with the glory of the Yahweh, Revelation 18:1. Isaiah 62:2, a new name indicative of the new experience they have passed through, which is the separation or sifting as explained. Yahweh himself with his own mouth gives the name, so it cannot be counterfeited. For the time that the name is received is at the end of the 430-year period, as explained on the chart on pages 112 and 113. Thus, the church is reorganized. So that would have to be in 1930, because that's when the Adventist church got a new name of Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. And that was and they reorganized the Adventist church under or with a new name. For the old name, Seventh-day Adventist, being polluted, could no longer be retained. There is no one to go by the old name. For the ones who were not worthy of having a new name have perished. With the figure of the five men with the slaughter weapon of Ezekiel 9. Now this takes place in the judgment of the living. And 1930, the Davidian Adventists beginning then was in the judgment of the dead period. And they were still in the 10th parabolic hour. For the name only remains for a curse. In Isaiah 65:15, we read, and you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. For Yahshua shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. For the old order of the things being changed, the watchmen who were unfaithful have perished. Well, this actually met its fulfillment fully in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. Who was the watchman in charge of the new remodeling of the Adventist Church? B.T. Holler was the first one, 1930. The second one was his successor, Ben Roden. Ben Roden is dead and gone. And then the one that succeeded Ben Roden, his third watchman, Brother Johnson, he's dead and gone. So all the watchmen on the walls of Zion from 1930 to 2003, they're all dead and gone. B.T. Hollis, Ben Roden, and Brother Johnson. Those are the three watchmen. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Yahshua, keep not silence, Isaiah 62:6. These are the watchmen with the new name, Isaiah 62:8-9, revealed that the Yahshua's care and protection over his, it reveals of the Yahshua's care and protection over his church. And the 10th verse is the Yahshua's command unto his people. Go through the gate, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stone, lift up a standard for the people. And the 11th verse, Yahshua says, he has proclaimed unto the people who shall live at the end of the world. Okay. Well, 1930 was not the end of the world. The end of the world began at the judgment of the living in 2002. When the mantle was passed from Brother Sidney Johnson to close out the Adventist Church, he closed out the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist Church. He closed out the second phase of the Adventist Church. He closed out the Shepherd's Rod. Yahshua has proclaimed unto the end of the world, said, say ye unto the daughter of Zion, and that's the house of David, that succeeds Shepherd Rod in 2002. That's the daughter of Zion. So he said, say ye unto, say who? Say ye, the Shepherd's Rod, unto the daughter of Zion, which is the house of David that succeeds the Shepherd's Rod. Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. So Yahshua comes with salvation, has come to the house of David, and his reward is with him. That is, Yahshua renews the everlasting covenant with answer for David, which is actually answer for Elijah, with that name, Elijah David, and his work before him. So Yahshua has come prepared now to bring the seal to his kingdom and set his kingdom up. And now his work is before him to do the harvesting. And he shows that in Matthew 25:31-34. He says he comes and sits on the throne of his judgment, and he sits the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. And he harvests the sheep into the kingdom of the Father, and he casts the goats on his left side into all the darkness. So he says, say ye unto the daughters of Zion. Okay. Now it says, afflicted for his people's sake, Isaiah 63. Wonderful. Who is this that cometh from Edom with the dyed garments from Bozrah? This says, glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in the righteousness, mighty to save. This is Yahshua coming. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment. And I will stain all my raiment. For the last part of the preceding chapter speaks of the holy people as the redeemed of the Yeshua by his blood. For the first part of this chapter concerns those who have rejected the Yahshua, those who are to leave their name for a curse. Unto them the day of the vengeance has come, for the picture is not a pleasant one to look at, but it is true. It is Yahshua's strange work. For Edom, house of Esau, king of Esau, wrote a song was in charge up for 32.5 years from 1970 to 2003. Edom is another name for Esau, and that's who Brother Johnson represented, the antithetical Esau's period, and he played the role of antithetical Esau. See Genesis 25:30. For if the Esau had his name changed because he sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. For the class here are termed Edom, because they have sold their birthright for self-gratification, to satisfy lust. God of the appetite, disregard of the health reform, and explained on pages 59 and 60. Bozrah is the name of a city. The name means sheepfold, a symbol of the church. As Isaiah 63:4, for the day of the vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And note, the day of the vengeance of the Yahshua, for the Yahshua says is in his heart, but the year of his redeemed is come. Note the verb come is in the present tense, just as in the Revelation 14:7, same as the loud voice, fear Yahweh and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. So the hour of Yahshua's judgment in 1844 was at the end of the ninth hour, Matthew 20:5, at the call of the Seventh-day Adventist Church to take up their work in the 10th parabolic hour. So the 10th parabolic hour was the hour of his judgment to come to the Adventists in 1844 to start the judgment of the dead. We as a people hold that the verb come was inscribed in the present tense because the judgment in the heaven took place at the end of the 2300 days of Daniel's prophecy in 1844, but it was not understood until after the prophetic period had passed. Therefore, Yahweh did not intend to make the judgment known. Okay, until after the hour has come. For the reason, inspiration, and ascribe the occurrence in the present tense has come in order to be grammatically correct. Thus, William Miller made the mistake of the event to transfer at the end of the 2300 days, namely the sanctuary truth, that sure entering the most holy place and the beginning of the judgment of the dead at the antitype for atonement that the Adventists considered to be on the 22nd day of October 1844, a single 24-hour day. If the preceding scripture is true, then the one in Isaiah 63:4 is just as dependable as any, for the chapter or the incident recorded in it has never been understood. Therefore, Yahweh must have preserved the prophecy for a given time. Now, the prophecy is understood, and being in the present tense, we must believe then that the year of his redeem is come. If one should disbelieve the interpretation given, then he means to say, Yahweh has made a mistake in inscribing the verb in the present tense. This may be said if not by word, then by the action. His redeemed, our next subtitle. What is meant by his redeemed? He redeemed is a past tense adverb. For the day of the vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Isaiah 63:4. So, you are here referred to Exodus 15:13, which is the song that the Moses and the children of Israel sang after being delivered out of the Egypt and the Red Sea. Thou and thy mercy has led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast girded them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Exodus 15:13. Well, this prophecy is for the 12th parabolic hour. It's the heart of it, prophesying and working on this prophecy in the 10th parabolic hour. 1930. But this prophecy meets its fulfillment in the 12th parabolic hour. For the inspiration uses the same word redeemed in the song of the deliverance. For the experience of Israel being a type of the Israel of the church, the 144,000 and a duplicate of the church now is explained in section 4. We too must be redeemed as well as they. And for this reason, the prophet used the phrase, the year of my redeemed is come. According unto the scripture, this must be the year in which the lesson came in 1929, when Yahweh began to deliver his people from the corruption that the General Conference that had taken over the Seventh-day Adventist Church had going on at that time. This is why they sang the song of the Moses and the Lamb. Had this not been the prophetic year, the call would not have come, for Yahweh keeps his after time. Quoting Exodus 15:14-16, for the people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. Then the dukes of the Edom shall be amazed, for the mighty men of the Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of the Canaan shall melt away, fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Tell thy people, pass over. O Yahshua, tell the people, pass over, which thou hast purchased. For the land of the Canaan represents the land into which the purified church of the everlasting kingdom of David, Daniel 2:44 and 45, at this present time came into existence, namely in the United States of America. For the name Palestinia means land of the stranger. For the United States is composed of strangers, people from many nations and races. Dukes of Edom refers to the same class as those mentioned in Isaiah 63:1, as previously explained. The name Moab means progeny, or forefather. Quoting Isaiah 63:5, and I left and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm had brought salvation unto me, and my fury had upheld me. For this part of the prophecy has surely met its fulfillment, for the lesson came to the Adventist church through the proper channel, and were presented by the Sabbath School Department in 1929 by the Emmett Anderson, a minister of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, that they were rushed through, for the sins mentioned were applied unto other people, and no corrections of any kind were made, and the lesson intended was lost. The entire thing is forgotten, and no one cares. Therefore, there was none to help. Now we wonder that there was none to uphold. We wonder too, for the scripture is plain, and the helps for the lesson was admitted that the slaughter is in the SDA's first before the second coming of the Yahshua and the cloud. Read Isaiah, the Gospel Prophet, page 49, 70 to 73. Also, the quarterly of the same lesson, to such a message as this world would not arouse the people, and made the question be asked, what else could have done it? Thus heaven wondered, indeed, that people have said in their heart, Yahshua has forsaken the earth, and Yahshua seeth not. He will do neither good nor evil, as there is 63:6. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down the strength unto the earth, ARV, that's quoted from, poured out their life blood, Isaiah 63:7-9, speak of the Yahshua's giving mercies, a multitude of the loving kindness. And all their efficiency was effective. These verses bring to view the wonderful and blessed thought of the Yahweh suffering with his people. Isaiah 63:10. Brings out the thought of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, suffering with his people. Isaiah 63:10. Draws out a comparison that when we rebel against the Yahshua, he turns to be our enemy. From the 11th verse in onward, including chapter 64, is a prayer of the someone of the Yahshua's children. As seeing the evil approaching, he has poured out his soul unto the Yahweh in prayer to save his people, remembering Yahweh's dealing with his chosen people and the wonderful deliverance of Israel out of Egypt. The one who offers a prayer evidently understands the situation. Actually, this is Yahshua talking all the way. Seeing the evil approaching, he has poured out his soul unto Yahshua, has poured out his soul unto Yahweh in prayer to save his people, remembering Yahweh's dealing with his chosen people, Yahshua, is remembering, and the wonderful deliverance of Israel, the one who offers the prayer, Yahshua, evidently understands the situation. For the experience of Israel in Egypt is a duplicate, and the request is for a man like Moses, Isaiah 63:11-13. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, "Where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them, to make himself an everlasting name that led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble?" Isaiah 63:16. "Doubtless thou art our father, so Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Yahweh, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting." For the language is this verse proves beyond a doubt that the person is not an Israelite, Jew, after the flesh. For the people in trouble here are not from the stock of Abraham. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, it would have been impossible for the prophet Isaiah or any other of his nation to utter the words while they boasted over the fact that they were of Israel, the stock of Abraham, which unto them was a great honor. Isaiah 63:17. "O Yahshua, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways?" Let's say it again. "O Yahweh the Father, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways, and hardened our hearts from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance." This verse reveals the reason for the Yahweh's displeasure with his people. Error, hard-hearted, not fearing Yahweh. "Why hast thou made us to err?" This is not his charge against Yahweh, that he has caused them to sin, but rather a wish that Yahweh might have used even harsher punishment to bring them back unto their senses. Isaiah 63:18. It says, "For the people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have torn down thy sanctuary." That's the Catholic Church in 538 A.D. "For their adversaries," Isaiah 59:18 tells, that their adversaries are the Yahshua's adversaries. "For they have torn down the sanctuary with the multitude of merchandise, laughter, whispering, common talking, manicuring, and other forms of the idolatry to dishonor Yahweh to his faith and his church." Isaiah 63:19. We are then, "Thou never bearest rule over them, for they were not called by thy name. They have not followed the Yahweh's instruction, though they identify themselves among the people of Yahweh in his house of prayer. They are not in reality called by his name." Okay, it says, Isaiah, the Gospel prophet, page 73, lessons for today, commenting on verses 1-6, said, these verses should bring serious thoughts to every soul. There is no more dreadful picture in all the Bible than this section presents. for the figure of the Yahweh striding forth, or Yahshua the Son, striding forth to tread the winepress of his wrath is an awful one. Yet it is true, for Esau had all the opportunity that anyone should have to know right from wrong. For he willfully chose wrong and became a persecutor of the true people of Yahweh. For we conceive that there are none upon whom Yahweh's wrath will be visited more completely than upon those who have known the truth, or closely related to it, as it were, and yet turned from it to become persecutors of those who do right, even as it is a blessed thing to accept the truth, so it is a fearful thing to reject it, and rejection need not include all the truth. To reject a part may be just as fatal as to reject the whole, so all should beware. Read Volume 5, page 492 by Ellen G. White. Volume 8, pages 248. Volume 1, page 190. Volume 1, page 471 and 2. Volume 5, pages 207 of the 216. Testimonies of Ministers, pages 380. Volume 2, page 708. Testimonies of Ministers, page 206. 407 and 408. This brings into our scriptures our contact this at the 11th hour corner. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.